I watched half of Tiger King. My wife watched it all. I guess I was not as intrigued with it as many others. I'd rather watch the 1980 Lakers than Tiger King.
So that was Eric Musselman yesterday during the teleconference on National Signing Day. And Tommy, he happened to be listening this morning to us.
He's listening. Coach Musselman's listening to us.
Coach Musselman's listening to us then, rather than the other sports program up in Northwest Arkansas.
How do we know this?
Coach, Tommy's got to talk to you. Jenkins has got to talk with you. Is it really you? Can we confirm this is really Eric Musselman, head coach at the University of Arkansas?
Well, I got to tell you guys, it's the first time I was like, I'm driving in to watch a little bit of film today, and I'm like, you know what, I've never looked up a call-in number and just kind of called in, so why don't I do that this morning? So that's what happened. I actually saw the number on Twitter and said, I'm gonna call in and see if they'll pick up my call.
Well, we hope you don't regret it. Better to call us or to watch Tiger King, which I guess you can answer that in about 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, I'll wait till the interview's over, but I'm not a big Tiger King fan. That's for sure. I'd rather watch old MLB games on MLB Network or NBA TV and one watch a rerun than Tiger King. I find it semi-amusing for a few seconds, but, the stupidity of it all becomes too much.
Coach, I don't know if you could say we're cut from the same cloth, but you grew up in a time where I thought the NBA was at its peak in the 80s and 90s, and you mentioned that you'd rather watch the 80s Lakers than Tiger King. I'm right there with you. I mean, you think about some of the battles that they had with the Boston Celtics in that time. That's the greatest rivalry in the history of sports, the Boston Celtics versus the Los Angeles Lakers in the 1980s. Do you think the NBA is ever going to get back to a point like it was in the 80s and 90s?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, that's kind of how I grew up. It was kind of the Knicks, the Celtics, the Lakers. My son's room, one of my sons growing up was all Lakers stuff with autographed jerseys, and the other was a Celtic room. But now when I talk to recruits or players, you ask them, who's your favorite team, and they'll say things like, whoever Kevin Durant's playing for. And so it's just become more of a superstar, follow a certain player. And it used to be, you would kind of go with a team and stick with the team no matter who was on it. So certainly a changing times in how people look at the NBA. And the really interesting thing is when my dad was coaching the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I was in high school. I was in 10th, 11th, and 12th grade during that time frame that my dad was with the Cavs. I used to take blocks of tickets, meaning 100, pass them out at the school because the attendance wasn't very good. And then all of a sudden the NBA just changed. And really it was probably Bird and Magic that because at one point the NBA didn't draw very well at all.
Tape delay, yeah.
And then it turned into the most popular sport, and you couldn't get a ticket to an NBA game. But for a time there, it was struggling, and certainly David Stern did a lot with changing and promoting and turned it into a worldwide game.
Coach, we played a lot of clips from your teleconference yesterday afternoon about the signing class and the three players that are signed yesterday. You got a couple more that are going to sign. I think that your team has the biggest chance maybe of one of the teams in the country to look more different this year versus next year just because of the size you've added. I know you said you're on your way to watch film. You've made mention you're trying to find ways to utilize these big guys you didn't have at all to utilize this last year.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a part of teams that have had big guys. I was an assistant coach with the Atlanta Hawks when we had Mutombo. I was with the Grizzlies working for Mike Fratello when we had Pau Gasol. This is going to really outdate me, but when I was with my father and the Timberwolves, we had Randy Brewer at 7'3". So I've been around, some teams with guys that are 7 foot. The interesting thing is one of the most creative matchups that I've ever seen in my entire life, and it was written about. You can Google it on you could still find archives on it. My dad actually had Randy Brewer at 7'3" guard Magic Johnson one game because we wanted to try to take away Magic Johnson's post-ups as a point guard. So we let him shoot threes, encourage the three ball, and took away all his post-ups by having a 7'3" guy guard him and back off of Magic. So, you know, we want to try to get creative. We're watching teams that play two bigs together right now. That's one of our projects that we're doing. You know, we're going to toy around with, you know, the big thing is how do we play pick and roll with a bigger lineup that might not be able to close out quite as quickly as five guards because, you know, for all the problematic defensive rebounding issues we had, we were number one in the country at defending the three. And so when you get bigger, defending the three and extending your perimeter defense, you become a little bit more vulnerable. So, and statistics are telling you now that the three ball is as important as anything. So we're going to have to work with some of our bigs because we don't want to lose. You know, one of the things that we did better than anyone in the entire country defending that three ball line. So a lot of things that we're going to have to explore. And then not having the guys, you know, right now, you know, makes it a little bit more difficult because we will have so many new faces.
Coach Eric Musselman with us here on the Morning Rush. Coach, you mentioned something during the season last year talking about your philosophy when it comes to your roster construction. And you said you typically like to have three or four guys that are ineligible to play in a development year so there's not bickering about playing time in the locker room. Coach, the roster in its current state right now, every single one is going to be eligible. Is it fair to assume, based on what you said during the season, that the roster is going to look different?
I don't think there's any doubt because we have had, you know, the fact of the matter is every year that I've coached college basketball, we've had four players or four spots not play due to sitting out. And this year we had three players sitting out, but keep in mind we did have an open scholarship all season long. We only had 12 players on scholarship with three sitting out. And therefore, your rotation and everything, you know, everybody's, you know, playing or everybody's getting close to partaking in the game. And when you have a deeper roster, that's not the case. And so it's going to be a more competitive practice than we've had. We've had competitive practices, but it'll be much more live action, not as many drills. In the past, since I've been in college, we've done a lot of breakdown drills, four-man stations, three-man stations, even two-man stations. One, we had to save players' legs. And two, we were more worried about small fundamental things. When you have a deeper roster, and I've talked to other coaches in the pros and college coaches about depth on your roster, and so you're going to have to put them in more competitive situations. And because you're going to have to figure out who deserves and who earns playing time, and the only way to do that is through competition behind closed doors.
All right, easiest question for the last question. Who's more ready for normalcy and mainly practices to resume, you or your wife, Danielle?
Well, for sure, Danielle. You know what, both. I think both. I mean, that's a hard one, but a good one. But she's enjoyed doing the Instagram live stuff. We've done two of them. They've gone over really big. I don't really know how to use Instagram very well. I have an account that we recently started. But you know what? It's cool to be able to spend time, you know, with your family in kind of what a normal life would be. Because we'd be on the road right now. I mean, I think about all this transfer stuff that's gone on and how active we've been in that transfer market. And to think that most of those guys, or a lot of them, we would have gone and visited. And that time now, you know, has been spent, you know, having breakfast and dinners and even lunches with my wife and my son Michael and my daughter Mariah. So that's, you know, with every negative, there should always be a positive that you can come out of any situation.
Coach, we appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. How we do? Is this your official endorsement of the Morning Rush?
Yeah, you know, it's, honestly, it's I did want to say, as I was pulling out, I said, you know what, I'm going to try this call-in number and see if they, like, really pick up or if they just put you on hold or how does this really work? So my first official call-in due to the virus of boredom. So I appreciate you guys putting me on. I didn't know if you were going to tell me no. I had to call back tomorrow or say, we don't have time today. If you want to try calling back on Tuesday or Wednesday or something.
Well, head coaches go to the front of the line, I guess, around here. All right, thanks for listening. Let's chat again soon. Call anytime.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate you having me on.